just before we have a word of prayer, I want to tell you about our study tonight. We want to talk about an unconquerable power for good. You won't see why until the very end, but that's why I'm telling you now. So when I say it at the end, you'll see why this is about an unconquerable power for good. This evening we're going to begin with a unique verse in the Bible. In fact, I don't know of any other verse in the entire Bible quite like the passage that we're going to be studying tonight. This verse begins a story unlike any other story in Christ's life. In this story is a small four-letter word that is always overlooked. I've never heard it mentioned before, yet it changes, this four-letter word changes the story completely. We don't know exactly when the story took place. The SDA Bible commentary tells us that, well, it puts a question mark and says maybe the winter of 30 AD, the last winter of Christ's life, only a few months before Jesus was crucified. We do know where it took place, but it's not mentioned in the passage that we'll be focusing on. But before we study this passage, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, who but you could give us such a book like Scripture? Who but you could help us understand this book that you have given? I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here tonight as we examine a message from you, from heaven itself, preserved at great cost, provided by great sacrifice. And may Jesus be lifted up. We pray in His name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at Luke 10 and the 38th verse. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into their house, into her house. Understanding the context of this verse helps us understand the passage. The passage it's in is in chapter 10, which begins with Christ sending out 35 medical missionary teams, two by two. And they do an medical evangelistic tour to prepare for Christ's coming to the various villages there in Israel. They went through Judea and Galilee. Now, when we send out missionaries, one of the first things that we do is to make sure that they have some money, they have some clothes, they have shoes, and a bag to carry everything in. My daughter is planning on taking a mission trip. And we received an email of exactly what she would need, how much money, where she would need it, the various costs for this mission trip. The kind of clothes that she would need, all this was for this mission trip. But Jesus did the very opposite. Notice in verse 4 of Luke 10, He says, carry neither purse, that's something to hold your money in, nor script, that's a knapsack to carry your belongings in, nor shoes. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, carry no purse, no provisions bag, no change of sandals. You see, they were not to wait until they had accumulated sufficient things so they could work for God. They were to begin immediately. And as they worked for God, they could not accumulate things. They had no bag to carry things in. They had to either turn down or give away gifts that were more than their actual daily needs. They had a special mission to perform, and there must be nothing to delay or sidetrack this mission. Now, among the 70 disciples that Jesus sent out were a few who came from wealthy homes with ample resources. They were not to feel superior to the other disciples who came from homes that were poor, or the disciples that had nothing. The most of the disciples were in that latter class. They had scanty resources or no resources, but they were more prepared than the wealthy because they were already learning to live by faith. All were sent out with what the poorest disciple had: knowledge in their heads, love for Him in their hearts, power for healing in their hands, and words of truth and hope in their lips, on their tongues, in their mouths. This is what they carried, and they freely shared. Jesus and His disciples couldn't afford to stay at a Sheraton. They couldn't even afford to stay at a Motel 6. They were dependent on the hospitality of the people they ministered to. They were welcomed in some homes. They were accepted in some cities. But on this mission, they were to learn to depend on who? God. And as they depended on Him, they found that He supplied their needs day by day. Their food and their waters were provided. How much store does a bird have from day to day? But God takes care of the birds. Israel in the wilderness, how much provisions to eat did they have day by day? Only on Friday did they have more than a day's supply of food. But was it sufficient? In the Lord's Prayer, there's a very, very important phrase. It says, give us what? This day, our daily bread. Do you know where Jesus took that phrase from? He took it from Proverbs, and I didn't recognize it until I saw it in the NIV. It was in our lesson study just a couple weeks ago. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me this day my daily bread. And they learned that as they sowed, they would reap. As the disciples freely gave, the hearts of the listeners were touched. They were invited into the homes of the humble peasants, and they were given food and a place to sleep each night. In Luke 22:35, Jesus, reviewing their experiences, said, when I sent you out without purse, in script, in shoes, lacked ye anything? And what did they say? We had everything we needed. Though they could not accumulate earthly treasure, there was one thing they could and did accumulate. There was one thing they could carry back to Jesus. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with what? Luke 10:17? With joy. Joy. These gospel medical missionary teams returned to Christ rejoicing, filled with the story of the mighty works of God. The kingdom of Satan had been invaded, you see, and the devils were forced to acknowledge that Christ was mightier than they. And these disciples once again joined Christ and accompanied Him to the various villages they had labored. Luke 10:38 again. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village. This was the village where Martha lived. John tells us the name of this village, John 11:1. Bethany, the town of Martha. Bethany, we know what the prefix Beth means. It means what? House of. House of. And Bethel is house of God. Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethphage, house of figs. Bethesda, house of mercy. Bethsaida, house of hunting. Bethabara, house of crossing. It was by a ford of Jordan. Thayer's respected Greek dictionary tells us the meaning that the name Bethany has. He says it's the house of depression. House of misery. The New American Standard dictionary says that it's the house of affliction. How instructive that Jesus came to Bethany, the house of misery, affliction, depression. The one who came from heaven and was born in a rude stable with animals was willing to come to the house of misery. That means he'll come to my house. But Bethany has another meaning as well. It also means house of figs, but not just any kind of figs. The New International Version gives the meaning as the house of poor figs or the house of unripe figs. If you trace figs and their symbolism through the Bible, you find it instructive that Jesus made his abode in the house of poor figs. John tells us something else about Bethany, John 11:18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. A furlong was 660 feet. So 15 furlongs is 1.875 miles. That's not very far. That's the distance that my wife and I, we live out in the country, we walk from our house to the mailbox and back. That's 15 furlongs, the trip to Bethany. Bethany is straight east of Jerusalem. To get there, you can climb the Mount of Olives, and Bethany is on the base of the other side of the Mount of Olives, there in Israel. And this is where Jesus stayed when he came to Jerusalem. Matthew 21:17 tells us, he left them, went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. But that brings us back to verse 38, apparently the first time that Jesus stayed in Bethany. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Do you want Jesus in your home? Martha received Jesus into her home. Her house was not just for her and her needs. She opened her home to Jesus and his needs. Now, it was a big deal to receive Jesus into your home. I don't mean it was a big deal because it was great and famous and brought you a lot of glory, and you had bragging rights. Jesus is staying in my house. Oh, no. First of all, to receive Jesus into your house, it meant there was a lot of work involved. It wasn't just Jesus, but he had 12 other disciples, and then they also had some women that came along. Now, I don't know if you've ever fed 12 people, 13 young men, but it's a big deal. And it's a lot of work. Secondly, it was a lot of expense. Did you ever try to pay for feeding 13 young men? Jesus and his disciples. And the poor people that they may have invited with them. Thirdly, it was a problem, it was a big deal, because it meant to publicly identify yourself with Jesus. That wasn't easy to do where Jesus was unpopular. It meant that you faced expulsion from the synagogue, ridicule, slander, misunderstanding, even hatred by your relatives and loss of friends. It may mean that your business would go down, your job opportunities would be closed. And since Bethany was close to Jerusalem, where the key leaders of the hatred against Jesus were located, this was a big thing. When Lazarus died, the disciples were reluctant to go to Bethany and counseled Jesus not to go there because they were seeking his life. And don't think that it was not dangerous to be in Bethany and be a supporter of Jesus. John 12:10 says, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, the friend and resurrected person of Jesus. That was a big deal to invite Jesus into your home. Sometimes Martha doesn't get much respect. Mary is honored, Martha is castigated. It's time to set the record straight. Do you know who is mentioned first in the family as the one who Jesus loved? John 11:5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. Martha is the first mentioned. The Bible pictures Martha as one of the greatest women of all times. She was unusual. Despite the opening of her home to Jesus, despite the expense of opening her home for Jesus, despite the unpopularity and even danger of opening her home to Jesus, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. The New King James Bible says she welcomed him. The NIV says she opened her home to him. Though she was young, though she was single, Martha was a hospitable woman. She opened her home to her brother Lazarus. And she opened her home to her weak and once wayward sister Mary. Martha was a hard worker and a constant worker. In a few weeks from this experience, her brother became ill and she cared for him in her home, which was a hospital for Lazarus. She was in demand. She was dependable. She was punctual. Where Jesus was, you find Martha working. John 12:2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. You want Martha to be a member of your church. You want Martha to be on your committee. You want Martha to be on the board. We have several Marthas at our church, and I made sure I married a Martha. Every church needs to be full of them. Hospitable, hard-working. Every home needs Marthas. It is true it was a lot of work to receive Jesus into your home. But Martha had a plan, what she was going to serve these gifts. And then she had to buy the food, carry the food to her home, prepare the food, serve it, and clean up after the meal. Then get ready for the next meal. She had to get the house spotless before Jesus arrived. But Martha, you see, loved Jesus. She liked to have him around, and she welcomed Jesus into her house. And love for Jesus made that work light. As she cleaned, who did she think of? Jesus. She thought of his love of cleanliness. She thought of how this would make him happy and comfortable, and as she worked, she remembered his words. Jesus was already in her home. She was sitting at his feet already while she was working. Don't you think she began to sing and hum? Work for Jesus, you see, isn't drudgery. It brings happiness into the life. As she planned, she thought about food that would please Jesus. As she shopped, she bought that food which he liked, and she bought nothing else. Thoughts of Jesus brought happiness into her shopping. She sought to pick out only the best. There was a smile in her voice as she purchased the food from the vendor. And as she cooked, she sought to cook the tastiest food in the tastiest way. thoughts of Jesus, quickened her hands. My friends, we need to invite Jesus into our homes. We never increase our work by inviting Him into our homes. It brings rest into our homes. It's true that receiving Jesus into our house entailed expense, but the thought of Jesus providing for others, His giving to the poor, made her excited to be providing for Him. And the money set aside for Jesus seemed to go farther. When we get to heaven, Martha is going to tell us stories of miracle purchases she was able to make, bargains she was able to find. And she discovered the joy of supporting Jesus. And when she looked at her billfold after He left, she found it wasn't any emptier than before He came. She was richer, not poor, from having Jesus in her house. We need, friends, to welcome Jesus into our homes. It is true that publicly identifying her support of Jesus caused others to reject her. But this brought her neither anxiety nor worry. She didn't fear the rejectors of Jesus. She pitied them and sought to help them. Publicly identifying with Jesus did not bring her fear. It brought her peace. Luke 10:5, Jesus had instructed His disciples, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, look at there in verse 5, Luke 10, peace be to this house. Verse 7, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. When Jesus walked through the door of Martha's house, He said, peace be to this house. He is the Prince of Peace. When Jesus came into this world, His coming was announced by the angels singing, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And when Jesus departed from this earth, He left it by saying, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The New Testament writers often begin their epistles with a salutation of peace. Well, there is a reason. When Jesus entered Martha's home, troubles receded. Pressures left. Calmness reigned. There was happiness. The cares of life were diminished. No wonder Martha looked forward and welcomed Jesus into her home. My friend, we need to invite Jesus into our homes. Verse 39, I want you to see, it came to pass as they went, verse 38, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Don't miss that tiny but important word, also. You see, Martha loved to sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary did, also. The two loved to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His words. They were comfortable, but had only a small home. There was not a lot of furniture. Martha gave Jesus the chair, and she sat on a rug that covered the dirt floor. She sat beside her sister Mary and Lazarus. She washed Jesus' feet. She listened to His instruction. But one day, Martha lost sight of Jesus. She began to do her task without Him. And she began to think about herself and her needs instead of Jesus and His needs. Verse 40 of Luke 10, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. This is the only time that Greek word translated cumbered is used in the Bible. It literally means to drag around. But Martha was dragging around with much serving. You think of a ball and chain. You think of fatigue. Have you ever been cumbered with much serving. She sat for a moment at Jesus' feet. It was morning worship time. But her mind was not on what Jesus was saying. Her mind was off, I need to do this and this, get this in the, started cooking, and she was thinking of all these thoughts that she had to do. She was cumbered with much serving. And she didn't stay long, he wasn't done, but she quickly got up to attend to responsibilities that she remembered. Now, the story of Martha is not to teach us that we have to choose between serving and sitting at Jesus' feet. No, no, no. It teaches us that before we're prepared to serve with peace, we need to sit with Jesus. We see that Jesus wants to give us both the pleasure of serving and the pleasure of worshiping. The mountain with Jesus, the valley with the multitudes. We see in this experience how Jesus deals with people. How gentle he is, how kind. Now, I would have said, Martha, I'm talking. That's a little rude. Come back, sit down. You know, I'm God. That was if I was Jesus, you understand. I've come from heaven. Martha, why did you leave? This is important for you. But Jesus didn't. And he won't do it to you. He knew her heart. She had looked forward to spending time with Jesus, and now this seemed to be denied her. She began to feel she was taken advantage of. She had to do all the work. The others received all the blessing. And as she thought about this, instead of Jesus, she no longer was sitting at his feet while she served. When she left the feet of Jesus, she lost her peace. Martha first looked through the door and tried to get the attention of Mary. If she could have caught the eye of Mary, she would have glared at her and signaled with her neck. Get in here, I need help. But Mary didn't look around. So Martha tries to get her attention by clearing her throat. Finally, she calls Mary. And Mary doesn't budge. At last, she knew what she must do under these kinds of circumstances. She would call upon Jesus to solve the problem. Now, she should have had Jesus solve the problem at first, shouldn't she? Got her instruction from him at the very beginning. Now we discover the temptation that faces every Martha. Luke 10:40, she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. It is an exclamation of frustration, of anger, of hurt, of loneliness. How easily sin confuses us. Master, she said, do you care about me? How many people in the middle of fatigue, how many people struggling in life against poverty, sickness, difficulties, echo the question, God, do you care about me? But it is more than a question, it's really a complaint. First, she blamed God. Second, she blamed her sister. First, she blamed God. If you care about me, God, you certainly wouldn't let this happen. Instead of seeing how much Jesus did care for her, she created a false dilemma. How could Jesus care and this happen? People make this mistake all the time. How could there be a loving God who cares in World War II? Lord, do you not notice I am overworking, nobody is helping me? Martha was looking at the privilege of serving Jesus in a false light. She looked at Christ as the cause of her overwork, her fatigue, her unhappiness. If he cared about her, she wouldn't be overworked, fatigued, and unhappy. But you see, she had it backward. If she cared about Christ, she wouldn't be overworked, fatigued, and unhappy. It was not that Christ had abandoned her. She had abandoned him. She looked at her sister, sitting contentedly and happy, seeming unconscious of anything but the words of Christ. And so, second, she blamed Christ for allowing it, but she also blamed her sister for refusing to help. If her sister would only help, she wouldn't carry this burden alone. She wouldn't be without assistance. Notice verse 41 of Luke 10. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Thou art careful. This word careful, translated careful, means anxiety, full of care. The hymn says, lo, at his feet lay the burden of carefulness. What's talking about there is lay the burden of anxiety, of worry. The word is troubled. I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts it. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Why be worried about that which is not necessary? Why be upset about that which is not essential? Just trivial. So many people are worried and upset over trifles. Trifles. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 31 of Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Luke 12:25, and which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? The problem with Martha was not the service. It was the worry. Worry takes us out of Christ's hands. Worry takes us away from the feet of Jesus. The Contemporary English Version translates Luke 10:41. Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Now, it's important to know that Jesus wasn't going to be giving his instruction all day. Jesus wasn't saying, look, I'm going to be sitting here talking all morning and all afternoon. No, no. This is worship. Jesus had lots of things to do himself. This was just a short period of time to begin the day with instruction from Jesus that would help you know how to spend the rest of the day. Jesus had planned to allow Martha time for worship and for work. This was the morning worship time. Breakfast would come next. Everyone would be scattered. But there was no need for her to reject or neglect worship for work. The worship period would help her be efficient for the rest of the day. Notice what Desire of Ages, page 525, says. The one thing that Martha needed was a calm, the next word is devotional spirit. A deeper anxiety for knowledge concerning the future immortal life and the graces necessary for spiritual advancement. You see, her knowledge of the needs of today made her forget the needs of eternity. The knowledge of the needs of preparation for today made her forget the knowledge of the needs of preparation for the life that's to come. She needed less anxiety for the things which pass away and more for those things which endure forever. Jesus would teach His children to seize every opportunity of gaining that knowledge which will make them wise unto salvation. The cause of Christ needs careful, energetic workers, the statement continues. There is a wide field for the Marthas with their zeal and active religious work. But let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be, and now you know the title of the sermon, an unconquerable power for good. Work with worship. Unconquerable power for good. Do you want to be an unconquerable power for good? Are you a Martha? You can be an unconquerable power for good. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. In 1997, I took my very first vacation. I was too busy to take vacations before then. The world would stop, I'm sure, if I didn't go to the office every morning. Wichita would fall apart. The sick wouldn't be cared for if I didn't see the patients in the hospital and in my office. And for years and years and years, I worked. But it was in 1997 when, at my wife's insistence, I left my computer behind and took only my little pocket Bible. And for 3 weeks I studied Bethany. And it is from that I'm going to be sharing with you this week. Because you see, I discovered that there are male Marthas. I discovered that God wants me to be an unconquerable power for good. Would you like Jesus to come into your home? Would you welcome Him like Martha? He says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I what? Stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will what? I will come in with him. And like Martha, I will sit down and eat your food and you can serve Me, but I am going to serve you too." Desire of Ages, page 800. Christ never forces His company upon anyone. He interests Himself in those who need Him. Gladly will He enter the humblest home and cheer the lowliest heart. But if men are too indifferent to think of the heavenly guest or ask Him to abide with them, He passes on. Thus many meet with great loss. But it is not enough, you see, to invite Him. Martha did that. You want to take advantage of Him once He's there. Does He become a burden to you? In a wonderful quotation, Signs of the Times, July 6, 1904, "Let us turn aside from the dusty, heated thoroughfares of life and rest in the shadow of Christ's love and learn from Him the lesson of quiet trust. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ." This was actually taken from a letter that Ellen White wrote to her son Edson and his wife Emma. And then this part that I'm going to read was lifted and placed in the book Education. not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ, to sit down in companionship with Him, this is our need. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. See, that was Martha. Season of devotion, but she didn't receive the real blessing of it. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. That, you see, was Martha. John 6 records the sad fact that many people followed Jesus for a time and then walked with Him no farther. But then the New Testament records that the disciples, while they still walked with Him, often walked afar off. What has your day been like today? Have you been a Martha or a Mary? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ, our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do, I must take more time to pray." Great Controversy, page 210. From the secret place of prayer came the power that shook the world in the Great Reformation. There, with holy calmness, the servants of the Lord set their feet upon the rock of His promises. During the struggle at Augsburg, Luther did not pass a day without devoting 3 hours at least to prayer, and they were hours selected from those the most favorable to study. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." You see, we first come to Him before we take the yoke. But if we go off with our own yoke, there's no promise that my yoke is easy. It's only the promise that His yoke is easy. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And then He says, "For His yoke is easy, and His burden is light." You want Jesus in your home? Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, we've learned important lessons from Martha. We would have her zeal, and we would seek devotion. I pray that tonight we may have your presence in our homes and in our hearts. We invite you in. We pray that as we study from evening to evening, you'll be a guest here and you'll teach us more of the things that belong to our peace. Accept our commitment, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2007. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.